everybody was like surprised, because I put my phone on the podium when I was doing my talk, and they thought I was reading a speech. I was looking at a picture of that mountain. That's all I had in front of me. You got to speak from the heart, right? And my next picture was of the elders working on a moose hide. Those were the two pictures I focused on to keep myself there, right? Because if you can't speak from the heart, you better keep your lips together. I am Chief Namox. I am currently the highest ranking chief of the Tsayu clan, and my English name is John Ridsdale. I made the mistake when I first became a speaker. I said, I am here to speak for my chiefs. Boy, when I got back and I gave the update, they just, you do not speak for us. We have our own voice. This is why we're chiefs. You speak of our words. So I got to be careful. I don't speak for my chiefs. I speak of my chiefs. The coverage in New York was really, really good. People all over the world, they found out where Wet'suwet'en and Gitxsan Kirby was there. So we had Gitxsan, Wet'suwet'en, Haida Shimshian, and of course the Gitmo-Gilts. The day before is when Minister Bennett was there representing the Prime Minister of Canada, saying that they would uphold the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, which is free, prior, and informed consent. So we arranged that we spoke the next day to inform the world that in a year's time, we're going to come back and give you a report card. Are they upholding it? And that's why we went to Geneva the next year. We were invited there. Geneva was the Committee to Eradicate Racial Discrimination, CERD. And so we gave the update on Mr. Selfie that he failed. He got a big fat red F. We got nothing but words and we got no action out of it. Everything that was put forward to him by the Indigenous people of Canada, he simply used as a headline and a photo op. You can't tell the world you're doing all these great things and, you know, we're great humane people and the humanity spirit is all together, when in actual fact you're not. They're just words. There's got to be actions behind the words. So it's good to brace them on it. And you can't stutter. You can't sit there and look nervous or twitch. He who blinks loses. So we don't blink. Not bad for a skinny little Indian from Tolkien. So now they're pushing it further and further. They're talking about reconciliation. Reconciliation means two people or two parties made mistakes, right? And they got to reconcile to come together. Where did we make a mistake? That's my issue. They want to reconcile, and yet they're making us feel like we're as guilty as what has happened to our people. I can't wrap my head around that. I don't believe we did anything wrong except be Wet'suwet'en. We look after the land, the water, the air, the people, all people who live on our territory. That's our duty. We didn't give up our children for residential school. We didn't give up our children for the scoop of the 60s. My mother, that beautiful picture I showed you, she was taken away to residential school. She ran away with two of my aunties from Lajack, and they walked from Lajack to Tulkwa. And the nuns let them do that, days and days on end. They finally get to Tulkwa. They could see where our grandmother lived. And the nuns were hidden behind the railway station in Tulkwa. And they just let them see the house way off in the distance. Then they went out, grabbed them, brought them back. Mom said they were put what she called the dungeon. It was downstairs in the jack. And said they weren't punished for running away. They were punished because they each took a pocket full of potatoes with them. The fact that they would allow this to happen, and then in my lifetime, MCFD coming in with the RCMP trying to take us kids away because we were poor. We lived Lower Coal Mine Road. The house we lived in, that we grew up in before it burnt down, was actually a cook shack for a logging camp. That's what we grew up in. And there's 14 of us. And my mom raised 7 of my cousins. That's 21 kids. And every time they come, Dad used to say, every time I come home from camp or fishing, because he was a commercial fisherman in summer and logger in the winter, gotta buy you a new broom or a new mop. Because she was constantly breaking it over, MCFD and RCMP. We'd all go into the bush there and hide until they're gone, get the signal, come back home, and we all stayed together. Mom would say, these are my kids, not yours, because of what she went through. You got to think, my grandmother, my mother's mother, never had a choice in losing her kids. There was no choice. It was simply done. We didn't have rights. We were treated as subhuman. We didn't exist. We were an impediment to progress. Now we are part of progress. Now, isn't that a nice one? And I hold no animosity against anybody, but history must be told properly. We just had the Murdered and Missing Women's Inquiry here. We were there for the 3 days. They have to come back because they only heard part of the stories. They're heartbreaking stories, but this is true history. These stories aren't made up. It was a law at that time. It was legislated at that time. That's why I hold no animosity against anybody. They were following the law of the day. But there's new laws out there. It's called human rights. We're all human. That's why I thought it was important for me to go to New York and to Geneva. You know, they asked my background, what am I going to tell them? I come from an off-reserve place, basically had 3 indigenous families on it. No, they want something prominent. My regalia is prominent, not me. And so my chiefs asked me to use my regalia. And believe me, people were lining up to talk to us. It got so overwhelming. We had to get people to queue up and just give them a few minutes each. We had Grand Chiefs of Canada, Grand Chief BC, Ed John. Hey, come out. No, line up, sir. I have to do it when I talk to them. And it worked out. People want to know, how do people from British Columbia, Canada, actually get to where they are, the indigenous people? We have a quality of life that people throughout the world do not enjoy. And we have a right to stand together to protect it. I go other places and some people won't even be in the same room because of the color of their skin. When we first signed the protocol agreement with Taunus Feathers that we have in place there, we were the first ones. All the other communities were shocked and they would line up and say, oh, the indigenous people won't be in our room. I go talk to the indigenous people. No, every time we talk to them, they're telling us what to do. You need to talk with people, not at them. That's the problem that we've seen. So we've developed relationships. We'll never cowpoke anybody. We know who we are, where we belong. In one of the stories that Medik and also Gestewe and Tsikot said, the elders said, there's gold all over our territory. And they didn't mean the mineral. They meant the clean water, the animals, the berries, the medicines, everything that we need. That is gold. But in the European context, they said, oh, let's put a mine in there. There's gold there. You know, our territory is rich. We got copper, silver, gold, molybdenum. We got everything. But it isn't going to rot if you leave it in the ground. The longer we wait, the better science will be. That mountain right over there beside Hudson Bay Mountain, they were going to remove that for molybdenum. The whole community got together. Everybody here got together. That's why that mountain's still there. I think it was just the Wet'suwet'en on our own, that mountain would be gone. When I stand on our land, I feel good because you could feel there's life there. Go to the tar sands, there's no life. Go stand on a fish farm, there's no life. There's no future. All it is just a monetary value that who gets the benefit? Nobody. And that soil will never be the same. The water where the fish farms are, they'll never be the same. The biggest burden a true warrior will ever carry in his lifetime will be the burden of peace. Because a true warrior understands that there will be death over there and then it will be your own people too. So you carry that burden, don't forget about that burden, and make sure that burden is what you think of first. So I don't believe in violence. But again, you got to realize people, they come from a place of hurt and trauma. They need to lash out. And sometimes we have to be soft and let them talk. Let them talk. Let them release what they have. Have that patience, have that understanding of teachings that don't retaliate. Sometimes the best thing you can do is listen. And I'm not that scary. I just take off my glasses because I thought I had to read something. It wasn't for a fight. But if you start treating people as human beings, and that's why you'll always hear me say, I don't want to raise my temper. I don't want to lose my temper. I will not respond in a certain way and all that. Because we have that human capacity of compassion. And sometimes empathy is needed. But if they keep on labeling us, we're going to keep on butting heads. We're all human. Let's get to that point. That was my main speech in Geneva. Get past this. Let's go to this. And let's remember we're all human. I get brave with my blanket. But it's the message of the people that needs to be passed.